Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
All right, that's enough fun. The sermon's about to start. Hello, how is everyone doing? Enjoying summer? Fantab? Amazing? So good. I'm loving summer. I've already had a chance to go out on holidays already. If you're interested, I can tell you a bit about that later. If you're not interested, well, I have the microphone and you're just going to listen. Such a great service so far. I love the worship time, is the enthusiasm and singing out to the Lord. Our God is mercy. And there's times I need an extra dose of mercy, and this is being one of those times. I want to pass along a hello from Pastor Steve. He is on holidays right now, but praying for us this morning. So that is a good thing. Let's pray before we get things kicked off. Jesus, we thank you so much for all of your goodness to us. Lord, we know that you have a special word for each one. And Lord, we ask that we would have ears to hear what you have to say. Lord, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that later time is right about now. I have three gruesome stories for you today of some summer holiday intrigue and fun, and not necessarily my gruesomeness, but gruesomeness associated with these events that I found half amusing, half horrifying. I thought maybe you'd appreciate it too. Welcome to my summer holidays. This is me in Vancouver. Let's kick off a slide. Here we go. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew 5, 7, and 8. I'm going to take you right into Wyoming. I had the privilege, the joy of going to Wyoming for my first summer holiday. I say first because it's just a nonstop barrage of summer fun. Right now we are in Montana, horseback riding with the family. In the background is Yellowstone, the national park. Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, and amazing family time, but the scenery just doesn't get any better. Next one. This is my hot wife, and this is my son's ear. This is the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone. This is just on just a regular cell phone type camera. It's a stunning, stunning view. Right beside us there is a massive waterfall just crashing. It's a fantastic nature that God has provided. Next slide through. This is my cute daughter, Emma. She will be turning 16 in 2 days. If you have a son, she's single right now. So if you just love lounging around with no ambition, playing video games, then she has no interest in you whatsoever. Her dad has no interest in you whatsoever. She might, but you're off the list. Get some goals in life, man. I don't care if you're 15. Get some goals in life. She's not dating any losers. Okay, next slide. Oh, actually, we'll flip back a slide. I was just so captivated by her cuteness. That in the background is Old Faithful. Yeah, it goes off every 90 minutes in a Faithful-type manner, hence Old Faithful. Next slide through. We'll begin the message. Now, you can see he's caged in. So what ends up happening is Yellowstone is known for its grizzly bears and wolves, and they're just an amazingly large, terrifying killing machine. I am maybe 50 feet away from this particular one, and if you ever thought that I will escape a bear by climbing a tree, you are incorrect. That 500-pound monster handily climbed up that little 8-inch diameter tree like it was nothing. to go up and get a bird feeder. You see, they placed food throughout this little preserve area. So when a bear becomes acclimated to people, you know, it happens here. We'll read in the news in Coquitlam, they get too used to eating the garbage or that sort of thing. One of the rangers or official type person comes around and they try and relocate them, but sometimes bears are persistent and they just keep coming back and then they become a hazard to society, and so they put them down. So this place in Yellowstone attempts to preserve them, and so the ones that will not be, that are just troublesome, they keep them in this large holding area while they try and re-acclimate them in. This one, yeah, is about 500 pounds, just a sheer piece of terror. Now, not so long ago, in the 60, 70 year ago zone, there were parks programs in place for you to feed the bears. They would set up piles of garbage on display. You can rotate through on this. Lunch counter for bears only. They would set up garbage on display. This is near Old Faithful. They would put out garbage, and up to 70 bears, grizzlies, would come in a night. So you could enjoy the grizzly bears by feeding them garbage. Now, part of you goes, oh my goodness, that's terrible. What could go wrong? Well, one day a teamster with the army, they'd been doing some work in the area, and he was dragged from his camp and fatally injured, horrifically mauled by a grizzly bear. That particular bear had been going through and raiding camps, injuring people, and the article reads, "The killing shocked many people. They were shocked by this. They thought this was unusual activity for a bear. Why would a grizzly bear do such a horrible thing?" And after it had injured a few other people, the article reads, "The bear injured several other people before the army killed it with a stick of dynamite." Seems a little overkill to me, but when in Rome, God bless America. The idea now, as we move up a slide, the idea now that I would have to educate you on bear safety just seems so insane. What kind of moron feeds a bear, you say to yourself? Who does that? Who goes out, finds a grizzly, and feeds it? You think people should just know that, right? No. People don't just know that. In fact, these programs that were authorized by parks boards, authorized by scientific communities, authorized by government agencies, they had to go through and do a massive multi-decade campaign. Bears are dangerous and destructive. Don't feed the bears. You see, we get in these places where we have certain pieces of knowledge, and then as we gain more knowledge, we make some adjustments along the way. You're saying, how could the scientific community and these government agencies and these naturalists endorse feeding the bears? Because our assumption is that, well, they know everything. They're studied in all this stuff. They've been probably studying these bears for years, and they know these bears are safe. But as we discover, it turns out that not all of these entities are firing on all cylinders. Don't feed the bears. Now, this idea then of, where does this relate? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Often when we're given a piece of a puzzle, you might get one piece at the beginning, but you don't get all of the pieces in. And my conduct with wherever you're at in your journey, or wherever you're at in that knowledge cycle, that requires sometimes my engagement with extending mercy to you.
There's a couple of interesting root words that we're going to go through. Pathy. A combining form, paddy, Latin, occurring in loanwords from Greek, where it meant suffering, feeling, and in Latin with paddy, like compassion, come with paddy suffering, with suffering, where we get the other pathies, like apathy, I don't care, empathy, where I can intellectually understand what you're going through. I'm empathic towards, I'm empathetic towards your plight. Sympathy, that with, like that together with suffering, with feeling, where I share in that with you. Sympathy and compassion has the same meanings. Rotating through to mercy, which Latin, thanks, grace, I like this, paid merchandise, forgiveness, compassion, shown towards someone whom it is within your power to punish or harm. Within your power. So whereas the apathy, empathy, sympathy often are about my observation of what's going on around me, mercy is when it happens to you. Mercy is about when it happens to you. Here's an example from Luke 17, 12 to 15. And this is of Jesus. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd came from the town with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he cried, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I love that about Jesus so much. His heart went out. And these situations that sometimes happen in life where your heart goes out to something. Jesus says, "Don't cry," and his heart went out to them. Now, that is an observation, whereas a scripture I'll bring up a little bit later is it talks about when it actually directly happens with Jesus. I don't care versus I understand intellectually what you're facing versus my heart is in it with you. Mercy is that when it happens to you. Let's move along a story. This is a picture of the family. We are at the Prismatic Springs in Yellowstone Park. They are the third largest hot springs in the world, second only to one in New Zealand and one in Russia. Absolutely massive hot spring. So beautiful. All those multicolors coming out are actually microorganisms. So it's not different colored water or minerals. Those are organisms that can survive those insane heats. And hence the beautiful rainbow outflow off of the hot springs. I got a quick story for you. See, often these things are told in stories. Like Jesus, as he went through telling parables, because we can get into a story. This is why when we have upcoming in September, we have our At the Movie series. It's not that we're hitting about the movie, but it's about telling a message through a story. People love a story. Here's one you're going to hate. Three people. David, Ronald, and their dog, Moosey. The dog was not on leash and jumped into a hot spring and began yelping. David jumped in, swam out to the dog, and attempted to take it to shore. He then disappeared underwater, let go of the dog, and then tried to climb out of the pool himself. Bystanders assisted him as he reportedly muttered, "That was stupid. How bad am I? That was a stupid thing I did." David was indeed in very bad shape. He was blind, And when another park visitor tried to remove his shoes, his skin and meat and everything came off with it. And he died the next day. And sad, Moosey didn't make it either. Now, part of you is going, wow, that is a tragic, tragic story. Where in the scheme of things is your heart? Apathetic, empathetic, sympathetic? Stupid. Why would you do that? Why would you be so foolish as to jump in a 96-degree pool of sulfuric acid? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? I want to tell you another little part to the story with a few embellishments. You'll get the gist. This is you now. See, mercy is about when the story happens to you. You're planning a road trip with one of your buddies. Sounds fun. You haven't been out in a bit. And you're like, man, a road trip sounds fun. What do you want to do? Let's go to Yellowstone. Go see the hot springs and the geysers. You see, the geysers are just shooting everywhere. It's like walking Tinehead, except it would be a bunch of boardwalks, and then something blows up every few seconds. It's crazy. It's like Armageddon out there. It's awesome. Let's do that. Yeah, that sounds fun. Let's go. I'm going to bring the dog. Yeah, I love that dog. I was there when we went to the animal shelter. We rescued that. I love Moosey. Of course Moosey's coming. And they're there the night before. You know how it is. You're out camping with your buddy. You got the hot dogs. You're cooking over a fire. You reek like smoke. You're having a good time. You're cooking off some s'mores. You got some chicken wings, Wally. You're having a good time camping. Now, man, what do you want to do tomorrow? Let's hit those springs. Yeah, let's go up and check them out. I heard they're amazing. Yeah, let's do that. You have a great night's sleep, breathing in that fresh Wyoming mountain air. You start early the next day. Your body makes you a nice coffee. Woo! You're ready to go take it on. It's a good time. You get piled up in the car. You head off to the springs. Without even thinking, because you're just so excited, you pop the door open. Moosey the dog flies out. Stop! I told you to watch the door. Sorry, man. I wasn't thinking. Well, go grab the dog. Okay, I'm so sorry. I'll go get the dog. You're running around in a mad panic. Oh, I'm so stupid. I made this mistake. I got to make up for it somehow. I got to at least get the dog. The dog's dumb because that's what dogs do. The dog's running here and the dog's running there, and you're just running everywhere trying to catch the dumb thing. And it's not so clever dog dives into a hot spring just thinking it's water. You're 21 and your prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed, and you jump right in after it. Does that make a little more sense? You see, when we add a little bit more information into the mix, you can start to go, oh, I'd feel terrible if I did that to my friend. Oh, you'd think you'd want to try and fix things. You'd want to try and fix things, wouldn't you? Would you? What are you staring at me all blank like for? Tell me, somebody out there, that you'd want to try and fix things. Yeah, you want to try and fix things. Little did you know, that day you would lose whether it was the one guy lost his life, one guy lost his best friend and his dog. This is a day of tragedy, but your heart goes out in the story based on who you think you are in the story. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You're at the right place. You're trying to do that right thing. You jumped into a hot pool, or you were the friend and you watched someone else jump into it for you. Would you have forgiven your friend if your dog jumped into a hot spring and melted, and then you just, sorry, man. All right, let's go. Next day. Like, you got to try. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You see, this idea that you don't make mistakes is a tricky one. You don't mess up every once in a while and need some fixing. You don't need mercy. Is that what I'm hearing? Remember that time? Oh, you more. Why did you lie to the border guard? You had like four Costco tires in the back, and you said you're just bringing back cheese. You fat liar. You're the one who messed up our taxes. Now we got to pay for that. You did that. We got to pay for that. You're the one who took out that extra business loan so that we could get ahead. And now we're living in a tent. You did that to us. That exam that you were writing, oh man, instead you decided to binge some Netflix and flunked out on your exam, but you tried to cut some corners and you cheated a little bit. I hear these types of tales all the time. People make mistakes and they goof up. You need mercy? Do you need it? If you need mercy, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Those are the ones who are going to be shown mercy. You want some mercy? You extend some mercy. See, mercy is active like compassion, and it applies to you. If you don't extend mercy, you won't get it. You want some mercy coming your way? Oh, it's this idea before God of like that you need mercy. Are you able to fall before the Lord and ask for mercy? Are you able to come into his presence? There's a word for it. It's called prostrate, where you're able to, it's like lying down before the Lord, face down, just a total surrender, humility, lying stretched out on the ground with one's face downward, prostrate, able to be prostrate before the Lord because you need mercy. That is something that you need on your side. If you're not able to get at a place where you feel you need it, you might have a problem and you might need to get your prostrate examined. Thank you. I barely say that without a straight face. Get your prostrate checked. You're not going to like it at first. But there's a value in getting before God to get yourself cleared up, getting before the people who you need mercy from and extending it first. You be the change agent. Extend mercy, and then it comes back. Blessed are the merciful. Those are the ones who are going to get some mercy. Does that make some sense? Well, these stories come through with people doing these crazy things. You need mercy from your friends every once in a while. You need mercy from your family. You be the one to extend it first. You see, the God Almighty sending his son Jesus was his being merciful to us. You've been extended mercy already. Now it's your turn to extend it to someone else. They made a mistake. They really messed up. They just didn't wet the bed. They destroyed the bed. They really goofed it up. And it's your turn to say, I forgive you. You see, mercy can't be, give me mercy. Give me mercy. Give it to me. No. I'm the one who has to give it. You're the one in your situation that has to give it. I can't demand mercy. You have to give it up. It's like forgiveness. You extend it, and then it comes back to you. That's a great Bible principle. That makes sense? All right, let's say an amen for that one. You put it out first. Final story. This was a bison. What was he? Is a 2,000 pounds. He just weighs a little less than a Honda Civic. It's big. Deb took this picture from the safety of our van. If you were bold enough, you could have jumped out and rode it. Would have been illegal, but that would have been a story. We, from the safety of the van, took a picture. Bison everywhere. so great. Fields of bison, new bison. In fact, here's an interesting story from this next slide. You see, this happened in 2016, where a couple came across a baby bison, and they thought it looked cold and hungry. Their heart went out, and so as you do, you take the bison and load him into the back of your car. Now, your reaction could be very similar to mine. What are you thinking? Why would you do that? Why would you do something so stupid as to load a bison into your car? What are you going to do with it now? The panic sets in. We're going to take it to the Rangers. They'll know what to do. So there's two different versions of the story. I'll let you pick which one ever you like. Version one. They take it to the Rangers. The Rangers try to reintegrate it. The wild bison moms want to have nothing to do with it. They kick it, push it out of the way, because the wild bison mom will take care of theirs and no other. It's not communal that way. They try and reintegrate it. The baby bison just ends up getting into the traffic and becoming a real hazard to people in these road conditions, and it's likely out going to starve. And so as an act of what they feel compassion, the park rangers put it down. It meets its end at the end of a 22. That's version one. I got another version for you, though. It's the same story, just depending. A woman who, she said, I was there, and she wrote her account of things. Yes, all the way to putting the bison into the car, taking the bison to the ranger station. The rangers try to reintegrate it. The mother bison want to have nothing to do with it. They meet a pack of wolves, and the wolves shred it. So, but you can pick whatever one you like. If you don't want it at the end of the gun, you can have it being torn apart by nature, because that's how nature goes. That doesn't always show up in the documentary. But sometimes the ending to some of these stories aren't good. Option one's not good. Option two's not good. I want to take just a brief second and look at the intent of the people in these stories. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Is doing enough good things enough to get you to see God? Is it possible in life to do enough good? Can doing good get you to God? Sometimes in these stories, we think, if I just do good. If I just do enough good, if I just do enough good. We have whole organizations that will stand on street corners attempting to earn their way into heaven doing good. But this is a Christian distinction, is that you can't earn your way into the kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, is part of it. But the Bible is read, you don't just get to pick one verse and then, that's what it says. Blessed are the pure in heart. Because you could be trying to do enough good things, but that doesn't get you into the kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will get to see God. Those who get to see God are those who walk this narrow road of faith in Jesus. You see, Jesus said it this way, that he and the Father were one. Seeing him was seeing the Father. And he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Doing enough good things, I encourage do good things, but there's one way into the kingdom, and it's through the Son. And so you go, that sounds pretty harsh. You know, there's a mantra in our society, all roads lead to Rome. I don't believe it. I believe there is one way into the kingdom, as the Bible describes it. It is through Jesus. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You see, when Jesus was there on the cross, you got one thief on one side, tearing into him, ripping him down, saying, hey, if you're the Son of God, get yourself down, and then get me down too. Got another one on the other side saying, you need to shut your mouth. We deserve what we're getting, but he did nothing. And he's getting punished too. Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus says to him, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Mercy. As it applies, Jesus had the ability to deal with that offense with mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Pure in heart comes from a simple choice, the beginning of a path onto our Heavenly Father through Jesus. I want to take a quick second to tell you about my friend Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. You can't earn your way in. You can't do enough good things to get in. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by working, so that no one can boast about it. That road to Jesus, and I'm going to tell you about him. You see, he was God Almighty, the Son of the universe, the Son of God, sent down to die on a cross for your sins, for the things that you need mercy for. You say, well, I don't like to maybe refer to it as sins, as sounds harsh. Get into a semantic-y type thing, but we all have those things that we know that we did wrong. And you need that mercy. Jesus is that bridge between everlasting life and this world. That sounds complicated. Well, it's a simple story. He paid a price so that you don't have to. Why did he do it? Because our God is mercy. He has a love for you. You're like, I messed up bad. You don't know how bad I messed up. I messed up really bad. It's okay. You can start today with a clean slate, fresh in the eyes of God, with a simple act of saying, Jesus, I receive you. Our platform host will be up in a bit to wrap this up, but I want to pray for you before we go. Let's stand. If you need, or you're interested in exploring that next step, you're like, I want to find out a bit more, or I'm ready. Platform host is going to tell you about that. But wherever you're at today, I just want to pray for you. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm going to believe along with you today that you're going to be at the start of something new. Jesus loves you, and he's got a great plan set up for you. And that first step is just asking Jesus, come into my life. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for all my friends out here today. Many, many already know you. Lord, we have a few new friends today who are walking this journey and are making a fresh commitment, understanding of what you have for them and for their life. Lord, we know that you love them. You have something good lined up for them. Lord, that today they could be, by choosing you, they make the first steps into this journey of faith-filled living and living by the Spirit. Lord, whatever their needs are today, we ask, Lord, fill them to full. Lord, let them see you in a new ways. Jesus, just be ever present for them, whether it's via a godly friend or some circumstance. Let them see you in a fresh way beginning today. Lord, and as they've accepted you or are curious about more, Lord, open their eyes to new ways of looking at things. Lord, bless them wherever they're at. Let them know that they're loved. Lord, for all of us that need that extra dose of mercy for whatever has come our way, Lord, we fall before you, whether we do that in a public way or at home tonight when we go to bed. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and we ask for mercy. Help us extend mercy to others. Lord, that we would be clean before you and merciful. Lord, you would say that we would be blessed for it. Lord, for each one that has that extra need, Lord, move in this way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for indulging my stories. Lord bless you. Please come see me afterwards.